Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 419 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm Rachel Herron. I am so thrilled that you are here with me today as we are talking to Ken Guidroz. And he's so nice, so charming, and such a good person to talk to about writing. And we are talking about writing the hard stuff, writing the emotional stuff, writing until you cry, and what that looks like and what that helps us do. So please stick around for this wonderful interview that is coming up. What has been going on around here? A few things. I took a train ride out of town last week. I left on Friday and came back on Monday. I took a 12-hour train ride up the interior of the North Island of New Zealand, which was fantastic. They had this audio commentary that would play every so often, or quite often, actually. And there was so much history, train history, nerdy history, colonialism history, a bunch of stuff around what the colonialists did that was really, really bad and just really interesting stuff. And it's great to be on a train looking around and seeing the countryside where so much history, a lot of which I knew about and some of which I absolutely did not. It was fascinating, fabulous. And I got that beautiful time on my way up there of sitting in my seat. The seat next to me was empty, and I just listened to podcasts and looked out the window, and I daydreamed, and I jotted so many notes and just wrote my way up into Auckland, where I had a little tiny pied-à-terre, basically. Just it was a bed in a room that faced another building, but it was right downtown on Queen Street, a couple of blocks down to the wharf. I walked and walked and walked, and I had that experience where my body just wanted to walk. So instead of staying in the room to write, which I normally do, I went and wrote in the city. I would walk, walk, walk until I got a little tired, and then I'd sit down and I'd write. And then I'd walk further, and then I'd write. And it was gorgeous. I went there with no plans of what to write. I'm not on deadline for, well, I'm always on deadline for a million things, but nothing absolutely pressing. So I was just following my heart and my energy and my interest. And the next day I took a ferry out to Waiheke Island, where I'd never been. And it was beautiful and sunny and gorgeous. And I wrote out there and watched people. And then the next day I came home on the train and I had to sit with people. I had to sit at a table with people I didn't know. And I really thought that my life was over for 12 hours, 12 long hours. And you know what? It was great. I finally accepted the truth of my situation, that I was going to have to be a human being and talk to other human beings, which honestly literally made me cry as I got on the train. Nobody could tell, but I was so upset. I go away for solo retreats in order to not talk to people. And instead I sat with a group of seven, three on one side, four on the other side of the aisle, and we talked a lot of the time. But it was lovely. It really, really was. And I came back from that trip rejuvenated too. Once I let go of my super controlling need to be quiet and just look out a window by myself. So that was good. And it was nice to come back. But I felt very behind because I missed Monday work for travel. And then it must be Friday. So this podcast is late. Everything is late this week. Yesterday was a nightmare of a migraine, the kind of which I haven't had in probably more than a year. So it was one of the real bad ones. And I am still quite dumb. I call it the migraine hangover, where nothing really makes sense. I am not tracking fully. My sentences are very badly formed. And I apologize for that. So I will keep this short, but I am glad that I did remember to do this because I almost didn't, because it's Friday and I don't make podcasts on Friday. I do them on Thursdays. But yesterday I was in bed. So apart from class stuff, I have done nothing else. I have not moved a single thing forward this whole week, which is frustrating. And I hate this feeling of frustration when I look at my list of things I wanted to do this week, and I haven't done any of them. I get frustrated. So when I sat down here to record this, I thought, what can I say about this frustration? And I realized that something I really need to do is my email. I haven't done it in 3 or 4 weeks. And I know this because I just got embarrassingly a ping from my gardener who cuts the grass up on the hillside. And he said, you haven't paid me for 2 weeks. And I am always really good about paying somebody as soon as I see the email come in. But when I'm behind in my email, I didn't see it come in. So that is terrible. And therefore, I must manage my email because I bet there's other things like that in there. So I thought, what can I do to make this joyful and delicious? And I've mentioned it on here before. I do like to go out and work on my email. I like to get myself a treat. It is a beautiful sunny day. I am going to walk down to my local, this little pub that is open from midday on, and they have a beautiful outside patio and they make really good peppermint tea. So I'm going to go down and get a big pot of peppermint tea, but that is not enough for me today. Peppermint tea in a pub is not enough to make me enjoy it. So I'm also going to bring this graphic novel called Ducks that I'm really enjoying. And for every, I'm going to do Pomodoro on email with reading in the pub as my reward. And that makes it something that I can't wait to do. I can't wait to finish this episode, post it, and then go down to the pub. So I'm going to get my tea, work on email for 25 minutes, and I'll take 5 or 10, maybe I'll give myself 10 minutes off and just sit there and read the book. And then I'll do 25 more minutes and I will keep that up until email is done. So if there are things that you want to do that you know you should do when it comes to the world of writing, let's keep it in the writing sphere. How can you make it so that you want to do it? What can you give yourself? Some of us work well with bribes. Some of us don't, but some of us really do. And I work well with bribes, especially when they are in the form of relaxing with a book. Always my favorite thing to do. So I'm going to go relax with a book and do some work also. What about you? What works for you? I would love to hear about it. Oh, other things I need to tell you. There are a couple of big announcements coming up. Do I want to tell you about this right now? I'm not thinking well or cleverly, so I'm going to think about this while I speak. Please be on my mailing list, rachelherron.com/write. rachelherron.com/write. There is an online writing retreat opportunity coming up really soon. And I don't want you to miss that. If that is something that would be fun for you to hang out with me and a bunch of other really lovely people to get some writing done in a concentrated burst of energy together, support it. So please be on my email newsletter list for that. And here's something that I haven't told almost anybody. I think I've told one person about this. But Rachel Says Write is going to be getting an overhaul. Rachel Says Right will be still happening, but it's going to be cheaper than it has been, and it's going to be more flexible. Basically, I'm going to invite people to Rachel Says Right. I'm going to look at every week that is coming up in front of me, and I'm going to pick my hours of writing, and then I'm just going to open up a Zoom room when I'm writing. So it may be that these flexible hours might work really well for you to drop in and write with me, or with others who are in the room. So that is going to be changing, and that's going to be a Patreon perk. I think it's going to be just at the dollar and above. If you want to join me at Patreon for a dollar a month or more, you can come to Rachel Says Write. I'll put you on a special mailing list, and every week I will mail out the calendar of when I will be writing and when you are welcome to join me. So that's fun. So you do want to be on rachelherron.com/write. Be on that mailing list, that particular mailing list for writers. I have not sent anything out for a while. So if you're like, am I still on that list? You probably still are. I don't think I've sent anything out for more than a month. So please be on that if you want to hear about these cool new things coming up. Also, Unstuck is getting closer and closer to going live. I hope to go live within the next week or two. But it would really, really help me if you would go to rachelherron.com/unstuck. And what is the actual verbiage of the button here? It is the Kickstarter page. So it'll prompt you to make an account if you never have had an account there. Oh my gosh, you guys, there's 60 people. I just pulled it up right now. I thought there would be like 10. There's 60 followers of unstuck an audacious hunt for a home and happiness. Did you hear how happy that just made me? Please, if you haven't done that already, go to rachelhiron.com/unstuck and just hit this button. The button says, notify me on launch. You do not have to do anything on launch. It's just helpful for me and the algorithms if there are people signed up to be notified for the launch for some reason. So please go do that. It's free. It helps me and apparently makes me really happy to see that there are 60 people out there who have said, yes, notify me on launch. rachelhiron.com/unstuck. So those are the two things you could do right now that will be fun and hopefully helpful for you too. rachelhiron.com/write, be on that list, and rachelhiron.com/unstuck. Hit that really exciting button that 60 of you already have. Oh my gosh. Amazing. Okay, thanks. Thank you for that. If you have hit that button, I really appreciate it. All right, I am in a more cheerful mood than I started speaking with my migraine dumbness. And this migraine gal is going to stop talking so we can get into where I was. I was probably smarter on the day that I talked to Ken. And here is his bio. Ken Guidros is a debut memoirist. 14 years ago, he wrote the go-to book for his profession, Beyond the 401k. But this is his first personal work, and it is personal. It is honest. In the book, Letters to My Son in Prison, he lays out the challenges he had in his marriage, the difficulties of connecting with a son in prison, and the long road back to finding God outside the four walls of religion. Please enjoy this interview with Ken and get some of your own writing done, even if it's just a little bit, even if you got to give yourself a million bribes to do it. Make it fun. Ask yourself, do I like it? Is it fun? I keep reminding myself of that, and then come find me somewhere and let me know how it's going, because I'd love to hear. All right. Happy writing, y'all. Well, I could not be more pleased to finally welcome you to the show. Will you please share your name and your pronouns with us?
Yes. Ken Guidros, him and he.
Perfect.
I believe is how you put it.
You did very well. Excellent.
Okay.
So it's so nice to see you. So you've been listening to the show for a while, I know, and you have something called an MFAP. Can you please explain that to us?
I do. I earned an MFAP. It's Masters of Fine Arts by podcast. And you were one of the main people that gave it to me. So unbeknownst to you, you are deferring MFAs to people via the podcast.
Could not be more thrilled to do it. You are so given the MFAP from me and all of my peers. I really believe in this. You might have heard me talk about it in different places, that there are some good MFA programs, of course, but some of them are just ripping people off and they can't afford to do it. And why? When you can get it from listening and learning and actually writing, which is what you did. So let's step back just a little bit. You, as your bio says, 14 years ago, you wrote a book that was straight up nonfiction. Did great, Beyond the 401k, fantastic. But this book that you have recently come out with is your debut memoir. How did you get it written? Why and where and when and what prompted you? Let's just jump right
well,
in.
Well, it certainly helped with your podcast, but you know, just learning how to write. You know, writing a business book is very different than writing a memoir, especially a challenging memoir like this was. And so I just set out to write it. It was horrible at first, but you know, it just was.
What do you mean, the process or the writing itself or both?
Right. Oh, I mean, I read my first draft that I had friends read, and I cannot describe my level of embarrassment that I would have thought that could be a commercially viable book. It's not.
That's but, why you know, I always like to recommend that people wait as long as they can until they show people they love, because later you will want them to read it in the new form.
Yes. But, you know, it's just part of the process. And yeah, I knew
absolutely.
That. I knew that. And so that was fine. They were encouraging, but it was pathetic. You know, and then podcasts, classes, took a UCLA extension, took something up in the Bay Area. In fact, the group you're probably affiliated with or what were
I just
started learning how to write essays, you know, and one thing led to another. And all of a sudden, the story that I wanted to tell started to come into focus more and more. And I would write a scene, share it with my wife, even share it with my son, my sons, plural, you know, and just see what resonated. So one thing led to another to the point where I felt like I now have a book.
We usually do this later in the show, but let's do it now. What is this book about?
So it's a story about how my son and I reunited when he was in prison. So tragically, he killed a man when he was high on heroin. He was in his car. It was a DUI. It was just beyond tragic. And I go to great lengths in the book to talk about that. And he and I were estranged. It had been 10 years of addiction on his side. And so you can imagine he's 27, 28 years old, and we have a lot of gray, ugly water under the bridge. And how do you recover from that as a father and son? How does he recover? That's his own story. But how do I recover even as a dad with such a challenging thing in my life? And so, that's kind of what the book, the genesis of the book, and it was, what happened in real life was almost better than you could even dream of, in that we did come back together. It was letters that brought us back together. Him opening up to me opening up to him, in that medium of letters that you can do it without feeling like a dweeb as a man, whatever.
Yeah.
As a, because men are a bunch of knuckleheads. We, it's hard to be emotional. It's hard to be honest and share how we
Putting
feel.
it in
But
a letter is easier than face to face or side by side or any of that.
exactly,
Yeah.
I said things to Lucas I've never said to my other two sons.
Right.
And him to me. And so it was this beautiful, elegant way of coming back together. And so it had to be a book. It just had to
So
be.
when you were writing the letters, that was that prior to you ever thinking about writing this book?
Oh,
And
yeah.
then how did you do the writing of the book itself? Did you pull all the letters and then start to sort? How did you handle that?
Yeah, it was after his release, really, when I realized, wow, this was pretty incredible on so many levels. A relationship level with me and him, relationship with me and my wife, relationship with me and God. You know what I mean? It had so many interesting elements to it. So yes, there was a body of letters right here on my desk. It's a big old stack. So I looked through those and I started to piece together what happened in our lives, what happened in the letter writing. So yes, it started to really coalesce into something that was a story, capital S, not just something that happened to me.
And how long did it take to do all of that, to bring this from concept to memoir?
It took a long time, good 5, 6 years. Yeah, you knew I was going to say that, right?
I couldn't
Because
remember.
no,
To me,
okay.
it seemed like you had reached out to me saying, I've just written this first draft. And then the next thing I know, you're like, it's done. Here it is. And it just seemed like a minute to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was a while, because it just took a while. You think of the curve, the learning curve of learning to write. Okay, that's one curve, and then simultaneously you're writing a memoir that's very emotional. I cannot remember the number of times I cried, really to almost weeping, like crying so much that you had to get Kleenex and. Right? Because that's the kind of memoir it was for me to write. And I wasn't that far from the event, right? It was years. But anyway, so it did take a while. And learning both of those things simultaneously, I think, made it additionally challenging.
I
Yeah.
100% know that it absolutely did. So then, how did you prep yourself up? What things have you found that help you to write?
Well, I mean, I find that distance and variety helps. So as I'm writing, my life's continuing. Lucas gets released from prison, right? My sons and I all start talking about what life was like growing up. I used to be a pastor. When a lot of this happened, it was when I had gone back in the ministry, and they told me about the pressure they felt. And so I was like, oh, really? So you felt, I mean, I felt it, but you felt it too. Oh, Dad, we felt it. It was horrible, blah, 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 right? And then you write a new scene. And I remembered a time when I completely blocked my son, my eldest. He wanted to go to a school dance. I should have let him. And I knew I should have let him. In my gut, in my parental gut, I knew I was making the wrong decision. And yet, I felt pressure from above, you know what I'm saying? And so I wrote that scene. I think it's a great scene in the book. Right. But that scene just came up years later. And so learning how to write scenes, what was gripping and what was not, what was too much of a digression, I mean, those are all the things and teach. But crafting that and learning that yourself is a steep curve, and it's one I had to climb.
And you just have to kind of plod your way through it.
You
What
do.
is the most exciting thing that you've ever realized about the writing process?
Well, I would say about, can I answer this about writing? The most exciting thing about writing is that it has changed my freaking life.
How? Tell me more.
I'm serious. I love writing. If no one reads another word of mine, I will write the rest of my entire life.
What does it give you?
I mean, it's just changed. I mean, here's a small thing. So this, I write a weekly essay and I publish it on Substack. And so this week I was thinking, I don't want to get too graphic, but I was just thinking about how much I love Instagram Reels. I love Instagram Reels. When I'm sitting on the pot and I'm taking a poop, I watch Reels and I can't tell you how happy I am. I cannot describe how enraptured I am with Lady Gaga singing, you know, Arizona Sky, and Miley Cyrus covering Like a Prayer. Are you freak? And Nate Bargatze doing his right? So I'm just sitting here. It probably helps my bowel movements. But anyway, before writing, I would just think to myself, I love Reels. I just love them. But now I wrote a piece on it. And now I know why I love them. And it's a deeper, richer experience. And it has taken random thoughts that I have in my life, and it has magnified them and put weight and flesh on them. And now they're richer. I live a richer life because I write about my life.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that.
I think that's a beautiful way of saying it. And it is particular to people who journal or do memoir writing, because living in fiction is equally wonderful and awesome, but it's very different. It enlarges the magical, fantastical, imaginative side of our brains. But the memoir writing or simple journal writing enhances our lived life and what we notice and what we continue and what we cease doing, because we notice that it keeps coming up on the page again and again.
Yeah. And I'm sure even you know, I know you're publishing a book, and I can't wait to support you on, what's that thing called?
Thank you. Kickstarter. It'll be out.
Kickstarter.
I
looked you up, and I'm going to be all behind you. And I think it's great, by the way, because I don't know if you have a lot of people like me that are big fans, but I'll support, you could basically read the phone book and I'll support you. But anyway, but you know, you're going to write about that intense experience of moving and, you know, all the things you learn. And I've read some of your essays, but you know, it has already made your whole experience of moving, like you have, richer and deeper and more textured and layered, and just compared to somebody who doesn't write about it.
And to that point, you know, my partner read it and she said, and she, you know, because she had to approve it because it's a lot about her. And she said, you know, I just don't remember as much as you do. You just have an incredible memory. And I'm like, I do not. I have a terrible memory. I wrote it down. That's what we're talking about. I wrote
totally agree.
Month by month by month. Otherwise, if I sat down a year, 2 years later to write it, it would be different. I would not remember the same things as much as I do when I'm capturing it in that moment.
Yeah. But even looking back, it gets richer. Like when I look back, like I had a low grade, real parental, just bad feelings about my sons. I had three sons. They went through their teens kind of at the same period. And it was just a black spot in my memory. But now that I've written about it years later, it's dark, but it's not as black. There were some really good times. And they've continued to tell me, come on, Pops, you're not that much of a knucklehead. You were a knucklehead, but you weren't that bad, right? And so I'm like, okay, yeah, they are right. I did do some things right. And so I don't know, I just couldn't say enough good about it.
Oh, I love that. What is the part of writing that you struggle with the most?
You know, I struggle when I get too close. Usually as the book's coming down to the wire especially my memoir, just because, again, I was learning to write. And so it was like, for example, if I wrote it today, Rachel, I would write a different book. I would write a better book, I think. Now, I'm not going to do it because, is that right?
I love that you're saying that. Yes, I love that you're saying that. Not enough people say it. We all say that. 6 months after any book release, we would write a different book and we would write it better because we've gotten better. And that's a thing to accept and say, yep, that's just part of being a writer.
I guess it's just part. And so... When I got close to the end, I did struggle. It was like, I just can't see. It was a little too intense in the first third. I mean, I've had some friends, you know, some good friends who said, I could only handle a few minutes a day. And I don't, you know, there was intense parts. I just don't want to write that kind of book. I want to write. And by the way, the last half is incredibly redeeming and it's a gorgeous story, but you got to get to the last half, right? You don't want people to close your book. So I think I'm working on, you know, some new books, and I'm hoping that I don't suffer from the same difficulty of when I get super close to it, that I lose focus. But that is at this point my greatest challenge.
But it's good to know. So, and you're not alone in that. Can you share a craft tip that you have learned while at this?
Yeah, I would say, given what I've written, write until the tears come and then keep writing and keep writing and grind.
I hate this advice, and it's so good.
And just grind and just exaggerate and just, right? Be a drama queen for a few minutes and just go. Because I think it's therapy. And I know people cringe at that. It's freaking therapy to me.
Yeah, definitely.
To me. And it's kind of some beautiful writing. Look, you can pull back. Cheryl Strayed wrote a book called Wild, as you well know. You probably even know Cheryl. But she wrote a piece about just a section. I was walking on a trail one day and I was listening to it in my ear, and it was about maybe sleeping with all those men was good for me. Maybe being high on heroin, you know, brought me clarity. And she starts just grinding and just like totally just being inappropriate. Yeah. And I was like, I love you, Cheryl Strayed. Yes. Right. Like maybe there was some value in that horrible shit that you did and life that you had. And I don't know. It's the kind of writing I dig, and I dig it when other people do it and they just get on to, maybe they say some silly dramatic stuff. Okay. But I just dig it. I love it.
It's human. And, it's, you know, human, and it's enthusiastic, and I can see that enthusiasm in you. And interestingly, what I always do is I always sneak around a little bit right before a show and go look up the book and look up what reviewers are saying. And what reviewers are saying about your book, you have magnificent reviews, by the way. And what reviewers are all saying is that Ken is killing me with how emotional this is. This is so big. This I've never read as emotional a book. And they're saying it in a praising way, because you did take them. And I noticed there are the people who said, I can only read it a little at a time. And there are the people who say, I couldn't put it down and read it in one sitting. It didn't stand up. So what you're doing is you're having that emotional effect on people. And what I always love to think about is that we can always pull back, right? If you write it as hard and deep as you can, later you can pull back if you need to. It's so much harder though to put emotion in later. Like if somebody says to go deeper and go into the difficult part of the scene, oh, that's difficult. It's a lot easier difficult. To say, can you pull it back 2%, please? Yeah.
Yeah. And to do it, you almost have to, at least for me, I almost have to like go into this new, like this tube of, right? And relive it and just go. And that's hard. It's better, at least to me, is to write until the tears come and just, and like you said, you can edit anything later.
Yeah.
But at least you have it.
That's wonderful. What about a mindset tip for our listeners?
Well, I think one thing is that I sometimes have viewed my day job. I design retirement plans for companies. That's what I do. And I coach a bunch of people throughout the country to do it in our company. Mm-hmm. And I've sometimes looked at my day job as a curse, as a cross to bear. My day job's actually a blessing. Because it is.
Yeah.
It gives me a chance to divert to something else. It gives me a chance to do something else. And variety's good. I know you write full time, so you don't, you know, but I believe
it's hard
for many
and
years.
I've only done this for the last 8 years. And before that, I was always working two jobs, and it was always a blessing. I always wanted to just write, but also I literally wrote more when I had a 50, 60 hour a week.
Oh, is that right? Oh my gosh,
absolutely.
That's hilarious.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
I'm happier in my life, but I write less. Yeah, because the time pressure is not the same.
Right. No, it's a blessing. And you know what? I'm 64, so I'm going to, you know, it's not too far off for me to retire. So there'll be a day, God willing, that I'm still healthy and don't have dementia, you know, that I'll have full time. But you know what? I said, screw that. I'm not going to look at my job as a curse. I'm going to look at it as a blessing. So I think that mindset has really changed me in the last few months. And I'm a bit ADD, you know, I kind of like to toggle. I've got way too much open on my computer, right? I'm a toggler. So to toggle from work to this, oh, I got this great idea. And then over, you know, I almost prefer that life than sitting
Yeah.
here having to write.
Yes. Yeah, me too. That's why I do so many things. And I love that phrase, I'm a toggler. I am absolutely an ADHD toggler all day long. May I ask you, what is the kindest thing you've ever done for yourself as a writer?
I think bar none is buying a camper van as my writing studio.
What? Oh,
Yeah, a
do you
camper
know,
van.
Ken, stop it. I sent a Patreon essay out
I just saw it a few
two
minutes
hours
ago.
ago that
Yes, I
says,
saw it.
why do I keep wanting a camper van for myself? Just for myself, for
Right? This is for myself. My wife's never even
van.
set foot in a camper van.
And you love it.
It's me and my dog, Mumford.
Oh, stop.
I go to two places. I go to Carpinteria. You probably know Carpinteria. It's the
I know
beach.
Carpinteria.
And I go to
Yeah.
the Eastern Sierra. And
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
you know, some of the most iconic scenery of mountains, 14,000
Yeah.
feet, you know, and I hike those mountains. So, and that's the greatest thing I've done. I love it. I named my camper van. It's the hangar for after an airplane hangar that my dad had. My dog, you know, I know we just have tricked out. I have it just tricked to be the perfect van to write. And it's just, it's a blessing. I'm just very lucky and I just absolutely love it.
Do you know what I just realized as you're talking? Like, I have been thinking about a camper van or something, or a camp, you know, trailer or something to write in, and I had just pictured it stationary. I'd forgotten it had wheels that you can actually go somewhere with it too. So I
Right.
might put this on my dream list. Yes. Okay, that is gorgeous. Thank you. What is the best book that you read recently, and why did you love it?
Madeline L'Engle's, she wrote A Wrinkle in Time. And she also wrote a book called Walking on Water, which is her spiritual reflection. So it's the reflection on creativity and her Christian life, her spirituality.
Is it part of the Circle of Quiet series? Because I don't, didn't she have four books? Those were her journals, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I
This
think
is a
it must be separate.
standalone.
Okay.
I adore this book. Oh my gosh.
Ooh,
A, I
I'll have
love
to get
her.
it. Yeah,
And it's so
I'll get
funny.
it.
I wasn't a big reader growing up. Even not now, I struggle with reading. But I know that's kind of weird. But Wrinkle in Time, that was the one book. That was my childhood book that
Yeah.
just, I didn't remember one thing about it, but I remember it moved me. And then I discovered this book about a year ago. And I'm telling you, I will sometimes get one paragraph and I can't even go further because I
Oh.
dig her thinking so much. The way she looks at faith, the way she looks at writing and creativity in general, and the way that it's a spiritual act, it's about the soul. Oh my gosh, it's so, if you're inclined that way,
Yeah.
it truly, in my opinion, it's the best book out there.
I will have to get it. That sounds wonderful. I
Yeah,
wrote her
yeah.
a letter once. I wrote her a letter, a fan letter, and she wrote me back.
Is that right?
It was, you know, probably, you know, late 70s, early 80s, and it was a form, like a mimeographed form that was hers, but she wrote me a little note on the top, and I don't have it, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was
Oh.
basically like, good luck in your writing life or
Oh,
something
that's
like that. Isn't
awesome.
that amazing?
That
I
is
will get that
great.
book. Thank you. What a great and it's called Walking on Water,
Walking on
Madeline
water.
L'Engle. Perfect. And tell us about a moment that you knew you had ink in your veins.
I think it was when the reviews for the book started coming in. Yeah, you know, and I, because you just don't know, right? Your beta readers are, you know, and even reviews and editors and they liked, you know, and but until it's out there, until people that you don't know write something about the way you touch them,
Yeah.
boy, that's a good feeling. At and when they started coming in, I was like, okay, good. I don't know, maybe I have a little something here, you
Oh,
know,
that's
maybe I
awesome.
have something to say to the world. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's kind of the moment where I finally calmed down and said to myself, I think I might have a bit of ink in my veins.
I love that you said that after your second book. It's not even your first
I
book,
know,
but
I
the
know.
second one. That's so funny. All right. Will you tell us a little bit more about the book Letters to My Son in Prison? Tell us a little bit about it and where we can find it, where we can find you.
Sure. No, like I said, it's about me and Lucas coming back together. It is a spiritual journey because I was a pastor. My boys rebelled. They kind of just went crazy. And so I ended up resigning and quitting church and quitting, you know, just going into the darkness for 10 years. So as I'm reconnecting with Lucas, I'm kind of reconnecting with God at the same time. And so that was this beautiful, you know, spiritual journey and parental journey and marital journey. So that's what the book is. It's those journeys all roped or weaved like a rope in, you know, getting to where I am now. So there's that. And then I write a weekly essay. You know, I wrote last week was sushi with a narcissist about a lunch I had with a bunch of guys. And one guy was just an absolute narcissist. This week was about
Where can we
Instagram.
Find the Substack?
Just under my name, Ken Guidroz. Everything's under kengidroz.com. And then Ken Guidroz at Substack would get you there. But, you know, it's about God. It's about life. It's about marriage. It's about, you know what I mean? It's about everything. Yeah. You know, I think I'll refine it one day, but for right now, I'm having so much fun writing it. Yeah, I know. Crafting essays is really fun. And it's challenging. It's challenging, but it's good fun. So kengidroz.com is kind of my website where everything sits.
That's wonderful. Ken, it's been such a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much for finally being on the show. It's been a joy.
You are very welcome, and it was an absolute pleasure of mine.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as $1 a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.